significance of a promise. The significance of a promise. And sometimes maybe to you, maybe promises don't mean anything, right? We've heard that. Maybe you've heard that through your life. I promise to do that. I promise to call you. So sometimes human beings throw out the word promise or I swear. And it doesn't really mean much, does it? It doesn't mean much. But with the Lord, it means everything. The promises of God, we've talked about that, are being yes and amen. So we're going to talk about a couple of particular promises today. Man, the promises of God mean everything to Him. Many promises He's made through the Word of God for you and I, they mean everything to Him. Did you know that? Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not a man that He would lie. Amen. Nor a son of man that He would change His mind. He doesn't waffle. Right, he doesn't waffle, man. When He says this is a promise, when He says He's going to do something, or He promises something from the Word that He speaks to your heart, man, you can take it to the bank. He's not a man that he would lie in any way. He's nothing like maybe people we know. No, He's beyond that. He's perfect in every way. There's no shifting shadow, it says about Jesus, or about God in Jesus, of course, in James chapter 1. Not a son of man that He would change His mind. Has He said, and will He not do it? Amen. Has He spoken, and will not make it good? So today I want to talk about a couple promises, powerful promises as we begin this December, this Christmas season. God is not a man nor a son of man. He doesn't lie. The things that He says in His Word, like I was saying in James, no variation or shifting shadow in God. In Christ Jesus. Let me say this again. The promises of God of yes and amen. Amen. Now I want to mention that, you know, Matthew 1 gives the genealogy of Joseph going back to Solomon, right? Going back to Solomon. Matthew 1:17, I just say it says all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, Jesus, 14 generations, it says there. You know, I just realized that God is all about numbers. Did you know that? He's a big numbers guy. He knows how many days you and I are going to be on this earth, amen? God the Father knows the exact date and time that He would eat. When He says to Jesus, it is time to go and get my church, He knows that time, amen? So God is all about numbers. Now this is a little side note and maybe doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what we're going to be speaking about today, but I just love this. I love this about God. We're talking about these generations. Luke 12, 6 and 7. This is Jesus speaking. Are five sparrows not sold for two Assyria? So a form of money with the Roman Empire at that time. Are five sparrows not sold for two Assyria? Jesus talking here, knowing what five sparrows cost, amen? And yet not one of them has gone unnoticed in the sight of God. Everything, every little detail in our lives, everything that's going on, God knows about it. He knows about those little details, you know that? He's all about the little detail, the numbers. I like this. I got to continue on. And then it says that they're not unnoticed in the sight of God. It says, but even the hairs of your head are all counted. You know, He says that for a reason. He knows everything about you and I. It says all the hairs of our head are counted. And I know some of you are thinking, for some of us, that doesn't mean much. Not a big deal. You're not impressed with that. But the truth of the matter is, all the hairs of our head are counted. It says, you know, because of that, it says, do not fear. You are more valuable than a great number of sparrows. You're more valuable than every sparrow that there is, every bird, every animal that there is on this earth. Because you and I were made in His image, in His likeness. Man, He is a great God of all the details of our lives. He knows all the days and the hours of our lives. Amen. Like I said, we know that he has the eternal clock. But God the Father, knowing the beginning to the end, and between all that is time. Not time, not like our time. He lives outside of time, amen. You know that 1,000 days to the Lord is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. He's beyond time, but him living outside of time, but in our world, knowing every detail of our lives. Isn't that good news? Amen. But I want to continue on. It says, but in Luke 3, it gives a different genealogy. I just want to mention this. Going from, it says, from to not going back to Solomon, but to Nathan, the son of David. And then some think that this is Nathan, or this Joseph is actually the son-in-law of Eli, meaning that Jesus being a son of David through Mary and Joseph, through both of them. And so if you were to read the Passion Translation, Luke 3, it would give a different genealogy to Nathan, the son of David, Joseph, the son-in-law of Eli. But what was I trying to say there? That those two different accounts give two different fathers of Joseph, but one of them they may think meaning also the father-in-law of Joseph. So maybe we have a genealogy of Jesus on both sides going back to King David. Why is that important this morning? Amen. Why is that important? I want to read this little section of very powerful scripture, because everything, as we move along today, everything is in a promise. Everything is in the promises of God and the promises that he's made to you. But I want to talk specifically about a couple from Jeremiah 33, starting with verse 14. I just want to take my time and read through this. I pray that you have ears, that you're awake enough to hear this morning. That even if you didn't get enough sleep, you just say, hey, brain, spirit man, come alive, listen this morning. Right? So Jeremiah 33, starting in verse 14, says, I, the Lord, affirm. It could be that he'd be in the court of law, and then he said, he swears by himself. I affirm. What I'm saying, he's saying, is it's absolutely truth, what I'm getting ready to say. I, the Lord, affirm. The time will certainly come when I will fulfill my gracious promise. We're going to read it. Gracious promise concerning the nations of Israel and Judah. Amen. That's why I always want to say when we talk about standing with Israel, amen, because it all started with Israel, and I'm telling you from the Word of God, it will all end with Israel, and you and I, believing in Jesus Christ, are being grafted and added, amen, into one church, Jews and Gentiles alike, through Jesus Christ. But it all came from the Old Testament, all written by Jews. And so what is the spirit of Antichrist trying to do today? If he can get individuals to think that Israel is wicked or evil, then how much truth is there in this then? How much can you believe if you think there's something wrong with the root? Well, there's nothing wrong with the root. The root came from God. The root is about Jesus Christ. And it is truth. And it's the only way you and I can come into salvation. Very passionate about that. So when you hear these different things coming against Israel, it's a spirit of Antichrist. And it's all, when the end, it's really not coming against, more than just coming against Jews. It's coming against God the Father himself and coming against Jesus Christ. Because if the root is wrong, then that means the fruit must be wrong. But we know that the root, amen, from Abraham saying, I will bless those, and I'm getting off here a little bit, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. But going back, so standing for Israel, it's not about just standing for a group of people. We know there's Christians, amen, in Palestine. We know that around the Middle East, there's those that believe in Jesus. But I have to say it all, this promise I'm talking about, it begins with Israel. And he'll come back to Israel. Amen. Amen, that's good preaching. I just realized that. I, the Lord, affirm the time will certainly come when I will fulfill my gracious promise concerning the nations of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will raise up from them a righteous descendant of David. A righteous descendant of David. Amen. Let's continue reading. He will do what is just and right in the land. In case you don't know, we're talking about Jesus himself. He will do what is just and right in the land. Under his rule, Judah will enjoy safety and Jerusalem will live in security. That time is coming at some point. Amen. Under his rule, Judah will enjoy safety and Jerusalem will live in security. At that time, Jerusalem will be called, "The Lord has provided us with justice." Verse 17, "For I, the Lord, promise." Their second time. "For I, the Lord, promise. David will never lack a successor to occupy the throne over the nation of Israel." We'll come back to that. Verse 18, "Nor will the Levitical priest ever lack someone to stand before me and continually offer up burnt offerings, sacrifice, cereal offerings, and offer the other sacrifices." We'll also come back to that. The Lord's message came to Jeremiah another time. "I, the Lord, make the following promise." Promises. Again, when the Lord says something, you can take it to the bank. Amen. You can trust it. You can trust that it's going to happen or it will happen, but you can trust that it will take place. Amen. Amen. "I have made a covenant with the day," says I, the Lord, verse 20, "I, the Lord, make the following promise. I have made a covenant with the day and with the night that they will always come at the proper times." Right? You notice it's the sun always comes up, it always goes down. Amen. "Only a few people could break that covenant. Could my covenant with my servant David and my covenant with the Levites ever be broken? So David will by all means always have a descendant to occupy his throne as king, and the Levites by all means always have priests who will minister before me. I will make the children who follow one another in the line of my servant David very numerous. I will also make the Levites who minister before me very numerous. I will make them all as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sands that are on the seashore." Amen. You can read, side note, if you want to write this down, 2 Samuel chapter 7, you can read about the Davidic covenant where God made the promise to David that you will always have somebody on the throne. Amen. I want to go back when you think about there not being a king on the throne in Israel, right now. Well, Zedekiah, Ben Josiah was his name, was the last king of Judah. And under his leadership in 1586, the Babylonians conquered Israel. So I just want to say that you might be thinking, well, Israel hasn't had a king on an actual throne for a long time. Amen. But it says he will continue. But this scripture says, and it's a promise, that there will always be somebody on David's throne. So what can it be talking about? Amen. And if it says there will always be priests serving, amen, what could it be talking about there? Because his promises are true, amen. So we have to know that this was fulfilled. Number one, it was fulfilled in Jesus. Luke 1, 32 to 33 says this. "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." We may not see it on earth right now, but I'm telling you what, his kingdom shall not ever end. God, Jesus Christ is the God of our lives. Amen. We are seated with him in heavenly places. His is a kingdom. He is Lord of lords and God of gods. Amen. The whole world may not realize that now, but there's coming a day. They don't realize that Jesus is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. You and I, by faith and by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we know he's a king. Amen. There's coming a day where the whole world has said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So we know that. Just because we don't see that kingdom, it's inside of us, amen? We're a kingdom here, we'll talk about, of kings and priests. But Jesus is that king that will sit upon that throne of David forever and ever. When we're talking about Jeremiah 33, that is talking none other than about Jesus Christ himself. He will always be a king. There will be nobody to supplant him off of his throne. He is the final king. There'll be no other king. Amen? Amen and amen. Let me read a couple other scriptures for you. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Then it talks about in Mark 11 of Jesus coming in. They're singing Hosanna. He comes in on a donkey. Amen. Fulfilling that prophecy from Zechariah. I'm here to tell you that he is the king. He is the Lord. We talk about Jesus being born of a virgin. That's true. Amen. He's no longer a baby. Amen. He's not just a God. He's not just a Savior. He's the only God, the only Savior, and the only true King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So let's continue my first point. I'll have a few points here. Number one, the promises of kings and priests fulfilled in Christ. The promises of kings and priests fulfilled in Christ. So let's move on through this as we talk about, now we're going to talk about kings and priests. Remember Jeremiah 33 says that they're going to be a slew of priests. And a long line of succession of those in that line of a king. Hebrews 7:22 says, by the same extent, Jesus also has become the guarantee of a better covenant, the new covenant through Jesus Christ, by the shedding of his blood. Amen. It says the former priest under the old covenant, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. Jesus, verse 24 says, on the other hand, because he continues, how long? Forever, holds his priesthood permanently. So we know he's a king, but we also know it says here he's a priest. Matter of fact, he's the high priest. Matter of fact, he is the high priest also forever. Amen? Because it says he will hold it permanently. Verse 25 says, therefore he is also able to save forever those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. We know Jesus is the permanent king of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. How many children of Abraham do we have here? You better be. Better read Romans chapter 11. Amen. We know Jesus is the permanent king of Israel, king of kings, the Lord of lords of over all. Jesus is God. Jesus is the king. But what does it say about him in chapter 33? It says, I will make the children who follow one another in the line of my servant David very numerous. I will also make the Levites who minister before me very numerous. I will make them all as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as the sands on the seashore. Could you imagine them reading that at that time? Jeremiah the prophet writing that. And they're thinking, how can that be? There's just a select group of Levites that can serve as priests and priestly duties, right? And how can we have a long line of kings? We have one king. And how can you have a succession of all these different people claiming to be kings? Could you imagine them reading that at the time? Now we're reading it after, but at that time, talking 100% about Jesus, the king and the high priest, and talking about you and I here today in 2023. Amen. Amen. So number one being the promises of kings and priests fulfilled in Christ. Number two, he has made Christian, Jews, and Gentiles alike in the lineage of royalty a king. Did you know your royalty? Your royalty. Have you been adopted? Remember, I love telling that story. Some haven't heard it, but me and my sisters were adopted by our stepdad when we were really young. And my sister said, I've got to get another copy of my birth certificate. So for some reason, she says, well, when we were born, our last name is Riley. So I'm going to want to get, I'm going to write and get a new birth certificate. So I'm going to say, my name is Lisa Diane Riley. So she writes to get this birth or get her birth certificate replaced. They send her a letter back saying, we don't have any record of a Lisa Diane Riley. She thought since she was born and had that birth certificate that would have that record. Well, when she wrote that another letter saying, well, how about do you have for Lisa Diane Nanke? They said, oh, yeah, we have a birth certificate of her. On that birth certificate, it says her dad is Todd Nanke. They didn't know anything. They had no records of what happened before. Man, when you are adopted and you give your life to Jesus Christ, man, there's no record of who you were before. You've been given a new spirit, amen? You've been given a new spirit. So as far as anybody knows, unless I tell them, your name is Chad Nanke, I can give them my birth certificate and say, look, Todd Nanke. No record before that. That's how powerful this is when we're born again. Give a new spiritual DNA. I mean, complete new spiritual DNA. Isn't that awesome? And so having that example lets me understand, what's this mean about us being adopted, man? I mean, this goes straight back. This covers my whole past. All the way from day one. Washed clean. Gone. Removed. Now the only thing shows on my certificate is I am a child of God. I am an heir of a king and a high priest. That's who my father is. Amen? That's good news. That's really good news. Amen. And it's all based upon a promise. Upon a promise. Isn't that amazing? He has made Christian Jews and Gentiles alike in the lineage of royalty, a king. Romans 8, 16 and 17. You hanging in there? Hallelujah. The Spirit himself bears witness, the Holy Spirit himself. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Did you hear that? Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. How do you know there's a suffering of the enemy coming against the church, coming against you? Amen. But you've been adopted. You know, that joint heir in Greek means to participate in common. It's like, I'm on the same ground. Listen, I'm on the same ground with Jesus. I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but I'm on the same ground. I'm a son of God. You're a son or a daughter of God. Amen? Because that's what it, participate in common. It says co-heir. It means co-heir. An heir together, an heir with him. How could we be called? Are we stepchildren? No. We've been adopted. We are heirs. If he's the son of God, amen, because he took all my sins, amen, upon the cross, he bore all my sin and my shame, gave me a new spirit, he's adopted me, we are called sons and daughters of God. That's a true statement. It's a promise from God. Revelation 1:6, get through some more scriptures on this, and it says, and he has made us, can you say us? And then in Chino, the plural for us is usins, right? So he's made usins, kings and priests, to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And he has made us, let me read that again. He has made us kings and priests. Unless you're his, unless you're adopted, how could you be a king or a priest? There's only one, we understand there's only one King of Kings, but it says that I'm seated with him in heavenly places. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. We'll talk about that. That means authority. You know, if certain records you want to get, you got to go to the county seat. That's where the authority is. Seat being seated with him pertaining to authority. Amen. He has made us kings and priests. To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So what's the kingship about while here on earth? I believe it's all about authority, by the way. You and I having the authority that Jesus had while on this earth, the authority of a king. If we didn't have any authority, why pray? Just let it be. Whatever will be, will be. You know that song? The future is not ours. But if we're a king and a priest, do we have authority? You know, what did Jesus say? He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Until you're endued with power on high. See, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, amen? They were born again. Jesus says, I've got to go. If I don't go, the promise, the comforter can't come. So when he came, amen, and he filled all those believers in that upper room, man, they were given authority, amen? They became priests, a matter of fact. Let me read a few scriptures, John 14, 12 through 14. I'm going to read these quickly. Truly, truly, Jesus said, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, this I will do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, it says, I will do it. How can we have that? Reason we can do that is we have his authority. Man, you, me and you being kings and priests, amen? We have authority. I wonder how many believers don't think they have authority. Their prayers are this, Lord, whatever your will is. Instead of praying authority, thank you, Father God, for moving in that family member. You said, well, I've been praying for years. Well, keep praying, amen? Keep praying. You have the authority. Think of the, well, I want to go down that thing, down that vein, but the promises of God for you and family members, you and your household shall be saved. So I have family members don't see it that way, but I have authority. I don't care if they got to be pulled through a tree, through a knothole backwards. They're coming in, amen? Because I have the authority. I'm a king, amen? Another one, Luke 10:19. We don't have it up there, but behold, I have given you the authority to walk in snakes and scorpions. And authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Did you know it says we have authority over the enemy because we have the position of a king? Lord, in this day and age in the church, I can only speak for the Church of America, may we understand your authority. Did you say, but yeah, Pastor Chad, you don't realize how much I'm struggling here. You still have authority. Matter of fact, some of those struggles, I've said it many times, will begin to break off and disappear when you realize the authority you have as a child of the king with the authority of the king, who you are in him, your position in him. As long as the enemy can say, can convince people, no, you're not a king, you don't have any authority, based upon these little things, behaviors or thoughts and everything, as long as his power is in his lies. If he can convince you that you're less than you won't have any faith to stand in authority. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us truth, revealing to us who we are, the authority that we have in you as king's kids, as king's kids. I am a child of the king. How about you? I am a child of the king. I have the authority on this earth as a king. What's that prayer? It says we're praying the Lord's Prayer, part of that saying that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does that happen? We have to walk in it. We have to believe in it. We have to understand how to obtain, amen, victory from the enemy. Walking in the truth, declaring, not giving up, not giving in or giving up, amen, realizing who we are in the authority of a king. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. John 1, 12, 13, just I'm going to keep reading a few scriptures. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. What kind of children of God? It didn't say servants of God. We serve him in capacities. But it didn't say a servant of God. It said a child of God. Amen? A child. And that kingly sense of who we are in him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's what I love about the gospel. It doesn't matter your background. You may say, man, I'm the farthest thing from a king. I'm the farthest thing from a king's daughter or a king's son. But see, it wasn't determined by the flesh. It was determined by faith. Put in your trust in Jesus Christ to wash your sins away, to walk in repentance, to make you a brand new creation, and to begin to reveal to you what it means to be a king's kid. His authority. I remember, so I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Amen. I'm just going to read a little bit more. I'm not going to get to my point on the priest, because I think that's going to take all of next week. It's exciting, though. There's amazing stuff, by the way, of priestly duties. Did you know, I'm going to say this, that you were not only king's kids, but we're all priests. We're all priests. It's scriptural. That Jeremiah 33 was talking about you and I being that authority and being children of the king, but also talked about the authority of being a priest. Man, that's exciting stuff. 1 Peter 2, a couple of scripture, another scripture, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. You know these, but it's just a reminder, seen in a different light. Jeremiah 33 is talking about this right here. But you are a chosen people. Amen. A royal priesthood. Royal priesthood, king and a priest. A king and a priest. A holy nation. You and I and every other born-again believer in this world make up a holy nation. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen? Amen. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We are his possession. Did you know you're his possession? Did you know that you're his most prized possession? You're the most precious commodity in this entire world. This world was made, given dominion to man. We're talking about the birds and the animals. Those were made for our enjoyment. Did you know that? This world made for you and my enjoyment. When I see the mountains and the trees and the birds and the animals, man, just knowing, wow, that's how I see the invisible God. I see the works of his hands. I see him in the body of Christ. Amen. I see his power in my brothers and sisters, my fellow kings and queens in God. My wife said, you better say the queens. You'll get an earful later, buddy. I'm just kidding. It's kind of. Let me read this again for you. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's talking about you if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. A people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received his mercy. You know, when we have areas of our life that we remain in darkness or not trusting him, that's living below who we are. Not who we're trying to become, but I'm talking about that position of who we are in Christ. Let me just say this. You're either a king's kid or you're not. There's no middle ground, amen? As soon as you give your life to Jesus, man, the adoption papers are printed up and stamped and recorded in heaven right there and then. Amen? There's not a waiting period. So let me see if I like you well enough. Let me see if you if you measure up to be a king's kid. The truth of the matter is, if we had to measure up, what one of us, anybody in this room, could say, yeah, I'm worthy to carry the authority of the King of Kings. Wow. I think of Isaiah 6 when he says, I saw the Lord, this is Isaiah. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Crown of his robe filled that room, the temple. Smoke and shaking. That's our Father. That's a kingdom that will never die. Here's what I realized in the promises of God. Those promises right there. I'm going to have a succession of people under the name of David that you couldn't count. There's not enough sand. There's not enough stars to count it. I'm going to have a succession of priests that's going to go on forever, and they're going to be as many as it says of the sand of the sea. How can you do this? That goes beyond just a natural tribe of the Levites. Through faith in Christ, through giving my life to the high priest, and I carry the power and authority of a Levite. You think of that, how's that possible? You think of that little, when they would have to sacrifice animals, they would put their hand upon, just think of in your mind that little innocent ewe lamb. Cute, aren't they? Putting your hand on his head and transferring all your sin to him. And that little innocent ewe lamb being slaughtered so that for that momentary time, my sins could be covered until the next time. And then said, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, somebody, God in the flesh, innocent in every way imaginable, not one sin, not one wrong, who made you and I, at the beginning, willing to become a ewe lamb, a perfect lamb, hung on a cross for you, spilling his blood only once, so that you and I could be adopted and become King's kids with his authority. Authority over the power of sin. Amen. Dead to sin. Now I'm a new creation. Amen. Now when I can pray, say, Lord, this is what I learned. Finances, struggles, I'm sure we've all been there before. Say, Lord, help me. I give this to you. Lord, this what I'm feeling, this struggle, what's going on, Lord, I give this to you. Lord, I thank you that I'm a king's kid, that the struggle that I have in my marriage, you can heal this, you can re-strengthen it, and you can restore it. Lord, for the past mistakes, all the past mistakes that I've made, thank you for washing them all the way by the blood of the Lamb. And now I, man, being perfect in your sight. Perfect, so perfect in your sight that your Holy Spirit takes up residence in me and says, you are now King's kid. Father, in the name of Jesus, as the worship team comes, Lord, we thank you for revealing what that adoption did for us. Lord, we thank you for the authority. It says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over some of the power, no, all the power of the enemy. Father, we thank you for the power over sickness in the name of Jesus, that you bore my sickness. It says in Isaiah 53, you bore our sicknesses in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you that you bore all my pain, inner pain upon that cross in Jesus' name. He was rejected his whole life. He knows what it's like to be rejected. Father, thank you for healing hearts that have experienced rejection, because you have been adopted and your God keeps all of his promises. He's not somebody that would lie. His promises are true. You can take them to the spiritual bank, amen, because I am seated with him in heavenly places. I can trust him to take care of me, to lead me, and to guide me. Doesn't matter what your background is in the flesh, in the spirit, you belong to him. Amen. He takes care of his own. I said, he takes care of his own. I'm under his kingdom. And I constantly say, Lord, thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for leading and guiding me. Thank you for strengthening me. I am your child. I'm trusting you because I can't do it on my own. I can't figure it out on my own. But I know your ways are higher than my ways and that I have the mind of Christ and you reveal things to me because I belong to you. I am royalty. Hallelujah. So if you know him, you are royalty, amen? You are a child of the King. So this is what I do simply every day. I say, Lord, thank you. When I get up in the morning, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning, amen? Thank you that I belong to you. Thank you there's no pain in my life that you cannot heal. Thank you, Lord, there's no stain or sin that it cannot be washed away. It is underneath the blood of the Lamb, amen? And I stand in right standing before you as a child of the King. And man, when you have that, you have some confidence. And then you'll find those things that you struggle with, they'll just start falling away. Because he has given you authority. How many children of the King do we have in this room? Yes. Amen. Father, begin to reveal to us who we are. Who we are in you. And Lord, let us not settle for anything less but your best in our lives. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to settle for any less. I'm not going to let things in the past settle. I'm not going to let the enemy convince me that I don't have any authority.
That's right.
I'm not going to let him convince me that, well, you didn't quite measure up today, amen. No, I'll still pray in boldness, amen. I'll still declare he's going to take care of me. He's going to lead me. He's going to guide me. He's protecting my children. He's protecting my family. He's blessing my health. He's blessing my finances. He's blessing everything pertaining to me. And the world needs to see people like that to know that Jesus Christ is real. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we bless you. Can you stand up with me? And we honor you. If you're willing, would you lift your hands up? We're going to talk about that next week as a priest, Lord. Just say, Lord, thank you, Father, that I'm a child of a King. Yes. Thank you that I belong to you, Father. Thank you that I carry your authority in my life. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you for the authority that you have given me. And so I worship you, and I love you, and I praise you. And I exalt you, King Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. Thank you, King Jesus. We worship you. We honor you. We bless you. We thank you for your anointing on our lives. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. In the middle of the struggles, Father, sometimes in the wondering, not being able to figure things out, thank you that you remain faithful. Thank you, Lord. It may seem by little, but you're revealing your glory to us. You're revealing, Father, your authority to us as we grow into a kingdom of kings and queens in God. Father, how we love you, how we praise you, how we exalt you. Man, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, let me just say this. Would you come? We'd love to pray with you and introduce to you Jesus, who died to save your soul and to fill you with life, to fill you with authority. Man, there may be some people here that just the truth that you're thinking, man, I've allowed the enemy to convince me that my voice doesn't matter, that things that I say won't have any power. You know, that's just an absolute lie of the enemy.
Amen.
This is what you do. You say, I am no longer going to believe that. I'm going to believe the truth that he hears my prayers, amen, that I have authority. The thing is that by faith you say, I'm not going to stand for that anymore. That's what you do. You say, I don't believe anymore. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, Lord, we thank you for truth today. Hallelujah. We thank you for the spirit of truth. Thank you for revealing things where the enemy has lied. Thank you for breaking that and revealing the truth of the word of God, revealing the promises of God. We declare that and we speak that today, Father, in the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We pray. Amen.